From inside the D.C. court, on behalf of Daily Kos reported this week, U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn was in the courtroom when the verdict...
It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I highly doubt that either Ben or I have ever been let off of any hooks. We've always been held responsible for things we've done, choices we've made, mistakes we've made, bad passes we've thrown.
Mistakes we've made? You mean like not starting the YouTube live feed at the start of the show?
Oh, yeah.
That is a huge mistake.
See, I'm called
That'll
out
be
again.
You.
Called out again.
I'm calling you out.
That's how it goes.
You made
I always get called out. I make them
what
every
are you doing
single
out
day.
There?
Every single day I make a mistake or multiple mistakes. So it's good. Just like remember when you're talking about we used to sing songs together and I'd make a mistake in every song. That was my trademark. One mistake every song.
And I would make zero mistakes.
I know. Vicky is so mad.
You know how hard it is to be Mr. Perfect all the time?
I don't because I've never
it's almost
been
the
Mr.
hardest.
Perfect.
People get mad at you all the time because you're like always right and you're like you know everything. And
that sounds like somebody else.
But it's not that I know everything. It's just I don't open my mouth unless it's something I know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say something if I don't really know for sure. So that's why it seems like I know a lot of stuff and I'm right about stuff. But really, I don't know that much. I only talk about the stuff I know, which is like the Packers, right? Like, I know Aaron Rodgers is playing like dog crap all year. Yet,
what
there's
I
still
just,
fans out there
Ben.
who just think that it's like they just give him a pass. They keep giving him a pass and giving him a pass and giving him a pass.
Yeah, and
it's ridiculous.
They put stuff out right here that says a down year for Aaron Rodgers is a career year for most QBs. Let's just look at this. Of NFC quarterbacks with at least 200 dropbacks, again, only 5 minutes on Aaron Rodgers is our limit. This season, Aaron Rodgers is sixth in passing yards. Tied for first in touchdowns, seventh in passer rating, first in drop passes, first in both attempts and completions of 20-plus yards, thanks to Christian Watson, because before Christian Watson, sure, wasn't had anywhere near first in those, and second in touchdowns of 20-plus yards, again, thanks to Christian Watson, who we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight, because he's awesome. He is the difference maker of this whole offense, Christian freaking Watson. We'll talk about him more. But you're right. So look at some of these comments off of that. Oh, I agree. It has been a little off year for him, someone says. But the last time I thought his talents were fading, he followed up with two MVP seasons, Ben. Another person. Rodgers is a victim of his own standard he set for himself. if he doesn't have 35-plus touchdowns, then people think he's washed up.
That's not true. Let's go back to 2019 when the Packers went 13-3 and he didn't have anywhere near 30 touchdowns. You know why? Because Aaron Jones had 19 touchdowns rushing in that season. And did the Packers still win a bunch of games? Oh, yeah, they did. But this season, they run the ball. As a matter of fact, the last game we just watched, they run the ball. 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 They get inside scoring inside the red zone, 20 yards away from the goal line. And it's pass, 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 pass. Well, no wonder why he's got all the leads all the NFC with touchdown passes. That's all they do is pass, pass, pass once they get inside the 20 yards.
It's still not that good.
I mean, come on.
It's still not that good. His season, you look at his stats, okay, fine. He's NFC lead, but the Packers also didn't get a bye until this upcoming week, right? So everybody else is going to catch up to him in some of these categories rankings are going to drop after this week when everybody catches up and gets the same amount of games as he has had.
Whatever.
Just a heads
up.
I mean, listen,
I don't want to get all in on him. I mean, it's.
I know
it's
our time limit's almost up. I don't really care.
I just done. There's going to be people who are apologists. There's going to be people who are haters.
Forever. Forever.
I'm a hater. Sorry. I'll tell you straight up. I don't like him. I don't think he's that good.
Packer fan 1992.
Many times, the guy screws up constantly. He misses freaking reads after the play is snapped. Mm. He does not read defenses after the ball is snapped. He can read them before the snap, but if the defense changes, he's screwed.
That's the key.
Go back
and
watch the L-22 against the 49ers last season in the playoffs. He was a moron.
And he's done it this year too. This is our wrap on Aaron Rodgers because we're almost at 5 minutes and Evan's holding us to it. Okay, so I talked to a coworker this week. He said, "Yeah, but how many games? You know, because this is the misconception. How many games we were in because Aaron Rodgers was our quarterback, right?" And I said, "No. Here's the thing. Is everybody tired of him running the clock down every play? Remember, he runs the play clock down so he can read what the defense is going to be for his pre-snap read. Except everyone's on to him. They know that's what he does. So then they change the look after, you know, when they snap the ball or right before they snap the ball. And Aaron Rodgers is still on his pre-snap read in his brain, which is why he's making more screw-ups because he doesn't read what's happening in front of him. He thinks, I know it. I got this pre-snap read. I got y'all figured out. And now I'm going to throw it wherever I thought or look where I thought. And then I'm looking in the wrong spot, throwing in the wrong spot. And that's why he's not that good. Okay, David's here. We're done with Aaron Rodgers. David's here. Hey, y'all. Thanks for that Southern drawl, David. David from Alabama, Packer fan, 1993 is in the house. Happy Friday. And David says, on a positive note, we can't lose this week. Well, David, we didn't lose last week either. The Packers won a game. And how many times can we say that this year? It's very exciting. We won a game.
Well, we also became the winningest franchise in the history of the NFL.
Wow.
By beating the Bears, which is always the best thing you could ever do. So, yes, it was awesome. It was a great game at the end. For a long time, it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? And then, of course, the Bears just decided to be dumb and pass, kind of like Rodgers does in the second half when they should have just ran the ball all over the place. But they decided to pass, and Justin Fields threw two picks, and hey, all right, sweet. Dumb. I mean, it was just stupid. Just keep running the damn ball, and you win. But we'll take it. We've lived off it for years, playing against the Bears and the Lions, them doing dumb crap and us getting wins against them. Let's keep doing that. Awesome way to go. But it was dumb.
Wait for the other team to screw it up or do something dumb. That's been the Packers' formula for winning for so long. And it doesn't win in the playoffs consistently, but it does win you a lot of regular season games normally, except this year. We have some exciting plays coming up, though. And Evan, just a heads up for you, we're going to get back into some of our things. So cue up the oh yeah, cue up. I think Ben might have a beef. I don't know, but we got some exciting plays to talk about.
Yeah, I got some. Play.
Oh, Ben's always got a beef. We got exciting players to talk about. We didn't even get to say hi to Evan yet. Evan, hopefully you're doing well. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Great. You know, okay. I always say that good, huh? I'm that good, huh?
Well, you got a lot going on, but I know you're rolling with the punches. A
lot
like
of balls
do.
In the air around Civic Media.
There you go. Well, Evan, we're glad you're here, sir. Okay, so Bears had 32 wins before we came into the league, and the Packers, David points out, and the Packers still have more wins than them now. That's pretty good, huh? That's pretty exciting. As a franchise, as a historical franchise, that's a pretty exciting milestone. So fans should be excited about that. You know who fans should also be excited about? Excited about some plays that happened. Ben, I am going to cue up my play that happened because I'm going to let you go first on the next thing. But for my oh yeah play this week, there are some exciting plays in this game. Some plays by A.J. Dillon. Some plays by Alan Lazard even. A couple of throws by Aaron Rodgers that were actually pretty good. Who else do we have here that made some good plays? Oh, I don't know. I think maybe Christian Watson might have made a play. And Mr. Christian Watson, when he got the jet sweep and ran the fourth or fifth fastest time of any NFL human player on the whole season for his touchdown runway, that could have been a 100-yard touchdown. No one's going to catch him. But they were at the 50-yard line. It's about a 50-yard touchdown or 48 yards. That was my oh yeah, Christian Watson made me jump out of my seat and say, That's probably the best one from the game, Bib. What do you got?
Mine is actually also kind of because of Christian Watson, but that would be the touchdown by A.J. Dillon, where Christian Watson goes in motion and the defense is like, hey, that's Christian Watson. Let's all go follow that guy. And then, of course, we hand it over to A.J. Dillon, and then he plows through a dude and he gets a good block by Sammy Watkins and then plows through another dude at about the 2-yard line and gets a touchdown. It was beautiful. It was awesome. Speed, all kinds of good things there. And it also proved like the jet motion, which Aaron Rodgers hates to run, by the way, is a dang good thing to do because it opened up A.J. Dillon's touchdown and then it also opened up a lot of running all game. And then they never gave the ball to Christian Watson the entire game until, at the end there when they gave it to him. And he scored a touchdown because they had done it all game. And everybody's like, well, they're not going to give him the jet motion. They're just trying to trick us and give it to A.J. Dillon again. Nope. And then he was gone. So both of them are really good. And it was all because of the jet motion. It had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. It was all running plays. Running, running, and running, and running, well, and more running.
And that's the last thing I'll say about Aaron Rodgers. As I mentioned it, we have 3 minutes left till break. I mentioned it that Aaron Rodgers made some great decisions in this game. They had nothing to do with pass plays. His great decisions were at key points late in the game. He handed it off to 28 and handed it off to number 9. And those were Aaron Rodgers' great decisions and best plays of the game. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for actually playing your role on the team and handing it to playmakers so they can do what they need to do for this team to win. So once again, I guess maybe Aaron Rodgers gets credit for that. Why didn't they put that on the list? Hand it off to two awesome guys instead of throwing some crappy balls around or throwing a guy's feet or taking a sack or whatever he likes to do so often. He likes taking sacks, you know, that type of stuff. All right, all done with Aaron Rodgers. Those are the oh yeah plays. We got a couple minutes before break. We don't have time for a beef yet, but we do have time for a couple of fart gun salutes. Ben, who is your silent but deadly player of this game?
Well, I'll tell you right now, in the chat right now, David, he knows who it is. It's Zach Tom. Once again, Zach Tom is like, hey, Zach, I know it's only a couple days before the game, but our awesome left tackle has got like serious problems, and we need you to come and start again. Can you do that for us? And then hold down the fort. And not only that, not only hold down the fort, I mean, there was maybe two or three plays where he missed on blocks, but I would say in percentages, it was probably 90% winning football by Zach Tom at left tackle in this game. That's incredible. He's my silent, because you never heard anybody say Jack squat about him. No penalties, no sacks given up, awesome blocks. Silent but deadly, Zach Tom.
Congratulations, Zach Tom. You know what? I got to double dip on it because the guy's just the man. He's the man. I was going to give a snarky one, but I got to be real about it. Zach Tom was awesome. The other thing why he's the perfect silent but deadly player is I don't even think he said a single word the whole game. I don't think his teammates heard from him. I don't think anybody heard from him. Coaches, nobody. The opponents he's playing against, the guys that he's like manhandling, he probably didn't even say anything to him. He's just taking care of his business because he's Zach Tom, people. The ultimate fill-in offensive lineman, a rookie the Packers nabbed in the fourth round, who's turning out to be a very valuable rookie. So we'll cut to break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more percentages and more rookies and maybe some Wookiees. We'll be back on the other side. Packer Outright Opinion, safe for us. I mean, one of the best songs of all time, in my estimation, but I don't know. What do I know?
You have a brother that sounds just like Mr. Staley, so I'm going to go ahead and say you know a thing or two about the best song.
The song's so ridiculously good, because, right? I mean, it's got kind of that groove to it, and then it takes off and just smacks you in the face.
Oh, we played it out. People go nuts for this song. Yeah they go crazy.
And they should. It's just a great combination of killer driving bass line, really cool, groovy Tom drum line part that's mixed in there, and then really simple guitar, and then...
Lane just crushes it.
And those lyrics, man, they're great. Yeah,
and then when Lane comes in with the chorus and it's just, you know, in your face and blows everything up, it's beautiful. Simple song, but one of the best. Kind of like the Packers offense.
Oh, I like it.
Keep it simple and you're the best, babe. Keep it simple and you just let that Lane Staley work. That's Christian Watson, baby. He's your game winner.
Here's my question.
Every now and again, you let him go crazy in the chorus with that big voice. That's Christian Watson. He'll take you to the house.
Well, let's talk about Christian Watson, Ben. Christian Watson. Okay. I've seen graphics. I've seen infographics and information circulated. Christian Watson has more touchdowns than all of these high-priced number
Justin
one.
Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Yeah, you name the guy, he's got more. Yeah,
Tyreek Hill. Yep. Like everybody, all these guys that are making all this big money, the biggest stars at the wide receiver position in today's NFL. Christian Watson has more touchdowns than all of them, and Christian Watson's only played a handful of games, but he's been super dominant. He's been a huge impact guy. He's very productive with his play. So he has something like, I forget, I look it up, 20, 25 catches, but he has all those touchdowns, like 8 touchdowns, one rushing and the other one's receiving. And should Christian Watson be a Pro Bowler? That's my question for you.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it's interesting. Giannis or Jonathan in the comments is talking about Giannis. Christian Watson is Giannis. Like, that's what he is. He is a freak of nature, speed, height, weight monster, right? Who can dominate on any play at any time, right? So just imagine 2-3 years down the road when he puts all the things together. Right now, he has issues sometimes with the ball in the air when it's kind of like a deep ball or something like that, like knowing where locating the ball and then adjusting your route. I'll say this much. I watched the game last night, and Davante Adams, he's still got that ability. He's the best at that. That ability to locate the ball in the air and just kind of slow down a little bit or speed up just a little bit to make sure that ball comes perfectly into the bread basket. And that's something that hopefully Christian Watson will be able to develop. But even without that skill, he's still more dangerous than Davante Adams could ever dream of being.
Yeah.
And that's think about that for a second. He is like Giannis, where it's just like, wow, like it's a game changing player anytime he touches the ball. And that is probably the most exciting thing and probably the scariest thing for opposing defenses. And it should only open up everything for everybody else. And it has. It's opened up the run game. And they need to use him more, in my opinion, but also utilize him best, which is keep him moving in motion. I talked about this on Wednesday. Keep him on slants. Keep him on crossing routes. Keep him on go routes. I don't want to see any more like in cutting routes, like 90 degree angle cuts, because he has to break down and stop for a second and then, you know, cut. Also, I don't like comebacks with him. His mom was interviewed a couple weeks back saying that his best run in track was a 200, not the 100, because it takes him a little bit of time to get going. Of course, once he does get going, he's got super speed. So don't ever let him slow down. Just keep him going on those crossing routes. Keep him going on the slants. Keep him going on the deep routes to utilize his speed to dominate opposing teams, and they will be afraid and scared. And then you can let everybody else run the stuff underneath. Romeo Doubs, Randall Cobb, whoever else. And perfect, perfect, perfect guy for this offense. Exactly what we needed. And it's the difference between stinky stink and awesome is that guy. Just one guy.
Yeah. And we also know that you you're picking him up in fantasy and starting him
made the breakout.
That's a major but that's a major feat for any player to overcome your fantasy football curse that you put on players. So what he's doing defies all logic and all likelihood of reality. If he Ben's fantasy curse, that's really something.
Yeah, I don't want to bring it all to me and say that I know everything or whatever. But I picked him up right before he came back from his injury. My team was terrible. He's played 4 games, and guess what? My fantasy football team has won 4 games in a row. So I don't think it has nothing. It's got a lot to do with Christian Watson. Pretty much, it's all Christian Watson. That's why I won all those 4 games. Pretty much. Plus, Joe Burrow has been doing pretty good, and Jamar Chase just came back last week. So my team is ready to go now. This week, because I got like 7 Packers, and they're all on freaking bye week, which kind of stinks. But I'll figure it out. I just got to beat a Viking fan in my brother-in-law. Hopefully, I can beat him. But we'll see what happens. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the pack.
Christian Watson, just to go through, 25 catches, 401 yards, 7 touchdowns. So on 7 touchdowns on 25 receptions, 16-yard average. He's got 17 first downs on 25 catches. And so, you know, almost all of his catches are for a first down. And he's got 5 rushing attempts for 68 yards and 2 rushing scores. So he has 9 touchdowns. That guy should be a Pro Bowler, right? Yeah. The game's about scoring touchdowns and points. And
what's his yards? Receiving yards?
401 yards on 25 catches.
That's where they'll say no. But, like, the touchdowns alone are enough to put him in, right? I would think. But
Right.
You know, whatever.
Games. I mean, about the Pro Bowl doesn't really mean any.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl doesn't really mean anything anymore. But it's still. I mean, I think he's got a case for Rookie of the Year. I can't think of another rookie that's making as big of like impact on a team.
Right. Well, he was just Rookie of the Month. So we'll let Lane take us out here to the break. Come back for more Packer Outright Opinions. We'll do some myth busting on the Packers defense when we come back and highlight their best players. On the Packers side, as we look at this defense that continually people like to bag on and talk about, and there's some guys that need to be bagged on, no doubt. You know, we had high expectations, right, Ben, for this defense. Very, very, very high expectations coming into this season. Now, some people talk about the approach, what the coach is having them do. Some people talk about the loss of Rashawn Gary and some of the other guys. Some people also talk about Eric Stokes as a loss, but that's not really that big of a loss. And Darnell Savage certainly isn't a loss. But, I mean, you lost the player, but, I mean, it's not hurting the defense, actually helping it. But the other thing with it is there's a lot of information that you can glean from certain things. Now, we talked about how stats can sometimes be misleading, and they can. And you can sometimes make stats say what you want. The one thing I'll say is the Packers, if you look at their defensive statistics, it's better. There's some telling things here that are better than what you would expect based on what we perceive as fans and how the record is 5-8. What's one of the things that we look at for defense? Okay, how many yards have they given up? So the Packers are kind of down, you know, they're in the bottom third, but they're top of the bottom third for yards given up, so that's not great. Okay, we get that part. But one statistic that I like to look at is first down percentage. Okay, first down percentage is important, right? Because you are as a defense, you want to get off the field, and then you want to give your offense opportunities to get the ball back. Now, the Green Bay Packers currently have a first down percentage that's in the middle of the pack, but a little bit better. It's 33.6% for their defense. Okay? 33.6% is their first down percentage. So there's
what is this first down percentage?
So it's the percent that you are giving up
a first down? Okay, thank you.
All right.
That's got to be higher than that. That's a lie.
No.
Because they stink.
NFL stats, 33.6% right here. And other years.
Okay, well, here's the problem.
Much higher ones than that. Much higher ones than that.
That stat is misleading. Because they seem to give up like a million first downs on the same drive, then that leads to points. Like they'll go three and out or they'll give up a score. That's all they do. They go three and out or they give up a score. It's misleading. They're still bad. They're terrible.
All right, fair.
So I don't know what you're trying to get at, because it's taken a long time. You're blab blab blabbing
not so
and blabbity blabbity blabbing, now, and no one's listening because it's leading to nothing. So you better get somewhere. Give me a point right now.
I'm going to give you a surprising point that I found, and one that would make you sad. Because if you're a Broncos fan right now, you know how bad the Broncos record is, right?
Yeah, but they got Russell Wilson.
But their defense has given up the least amount of touchdowns in the whole league. Nine touchdowns on the season. Nine touchdowns is all the Broncos defense has surrendered, and their record's terrible. And Nathaniel Hackett's on the chopping block, a super nice guy, positive guy, poor guy. All because this quarterback stinks, but only nine touchdowns, the lowest amount of touchdowns in the whole league. Packers have given up twice that many, 18, by the way, but you know, that's neither here nor there. There's more teams. There's teams that give up more touchdowns than the Packers. I'll say that. How's that? 24 are the Cardinals, 24 by the Chiefs. The Chiefs are still winning games. 24 by the Steelers.
What is your point here? You're just rambling.
My point is that the Packers defense isn't as bad as everybody thinks it is. They're kind of middle of the pack. When you look at most of the stats, they're kind
you're
of
wrong.
Middle of the pack.
You are wrong. I love you. You're my brother.
Just
but
looking
you're
at the
wrong.
Stats, bro. All right, explain it to me.
It comes down to this. I'll give the example I gave on Wednesday. Rasul Douglas sniffs out a wide receiver screen, tackles him for a one-yard loss on first down. On second down, Justin Fields in the pocket. The Packers secondary does a great job covering. He rolls out of the pocket. Quay Walker chases the sideline for a one-yard gain. It's third and 10. It's third and 10. He had two awesome positive plays in a row. And then on third and 10, Campbell just brain farts and lets the tight end sneak over to the right of him and Sister wide open. He catches it and runs for 20-some yards on third and 10 because your middle linebacker who you paid a bunch of money to doesn't know where the damn tight end is when he comes into his zone and he lets him go. And that's why they suck, because for every good play they do, or every two good plays, there's one really bad, terrible, stupid crap play, which ruins everything. So it might be that they're only giving 33% of first downs or whatever the crap
that's,
is.
That's on
those 33%.
Really.
Okay, I'm passing. Yeah, well, and running, they stink.
Oh, running,
they give up a bunch. Yeah, they're probably like 80%
running
first down
there's
percentage
only,
on run.
There's only five teams worse in running first down percentage. They've given up 27%.
Okay, so there you go. Percent.
Okay,
you're
so
wrong.
Really
I'm right. I'm sorry you're wrong, because I hate to call you out again, but I'm right again. I'm always right. We talked about this in the first segment. I hate to say it. I'm older than you.
Oh, that's such BS. You hate to say it. Don't give me that. Okay. You hate to say it.
I like to say it. But yeah, listen, you're an award-winning journalist. I'm just some schlub, so I'll give you that. But I don't open my mouth and talk
positive.
Unless I know what I'm talking about. And it's obvious you like to look at stats, but you don't know what you're talking about. And I just look at the game and go, well, that don't seem right, because these guys just play like crap half the time or one third of the time. No matter how many Rudy Fords and Nixons and Rasul Douglases and all these other guys that are good and making plays, you still got a bunch of other ding dongs who screw crap up all the time.
I was trying to find a positive. Okay, so let me get to the positives then. We'll go to specific players. We talked about them. Rudy Ford, Keyshawn Nixon, those are guys that you and I have called for. We called for them way before the Packers finally put them on the field. Now we're seeing them on the field. And the guys are playing. They just look different, right? We talked about it. Now, you mentioned this as a very good factor. Like, we don't know what they were like when they played on these other teams. Rudy Ford, for some reason, the Packers follow paths of guys. They like to pick guys up who were on certain teams. It seems like there's consistency to that. Now, I don't
Jaguars
know if that's...
and Raiders. Yeah,
right, and I don't know if there's like, you know, because maybe there's scouting background that overlaps with Goody and people like that in the Packers organization. But what happens is, oftentimes, guys they pick up were on the Jaguars at some point, and the Jaguars cast them aside. And the other team that's often in the mix, how was it? Rudy Ford's been on both of them. Oh, the Eagles. They like to pick guys up that were cut by the Eagles, too. So Rudy Ford was on the Eagles, and he was on the Jaguars. And he played a bunch of years. He didn't get a lot of time to start. He got to play some 1 year. He got to play a little bit more. And then his last year with the Jags, and then they got rid of him. And so you talked about it, guys being hungry, guys being kicked around. You know, Rasul Douglas, same thing, was kicked around more than anybody in a span of 4 months than most players have ever been. And they were hungrier, right? And they were aggressive. And you also talked about how it puts them in that mentality, like, I've been doing this, you know, a certain way, maybe, and it's not working out for me, so what do I have to lose, right? They're basically like, what do I have to lose? I'm going for it. If I make a play, then I got a lot to gain. If I miss a play, they take me off the field. That's what happened to me the last 5 years. So who gives a crap, right? And they play different.
Yeah, it comes down to a mentality of like, these guys know it's my last chance. I'm going to play within the system, but if I read it, I'm going to see it and I'm going to go. And the problem is, we have too many guys on the team who feel like they're entitled, or that they're
safe.
They're not worried. They're not worried about losing their job.
Right.
And they play, and they believe they're safe, and they play safe. They play not to screw up instead of to make a play. And that's the biggest difference. So half the guys on the team are playing that way. The other half are playing aggressive. And because of that, it's not a cohesive unit, and it doesn't make sense. For every good play you have by a guy who's making an aggressive play, unless the entire team is working together, it's a mess. And the other thing, one more thing I just want to bring up from that game last night I watched. I'm not a Baker Mayfield guy. I never really have been, but I was very happy for him last night. I don't know if anybody saw the game. It was awesome. He shows up to the Rams 2 days ago, blitzes to learn the system, all this kind of stuff, comes in the game. There's times where he's going back to like hand the ball off and he's going the wrong way and the running back's on the other side because he doesn't know what the heck to play. You know, some of the plays he doesn't know. But they did go over the two-minute offense and they scored twice on the last two possessions they had the ball in the two-minute offense and they won the game with a quarterback who got there a day and a half earlier. And that's the type of guy. Is he going to screw up a lot? Yeah. But he takes shots. His passes were, he had so many, he had every pass he had on that last drive was over 20 yards downfield that were completed. Because he just took the shot. He's like, what am I got to lose? Boom, going for it. He played like Nixon, like Rudy Ford, like Douglas last year. Like that's the way he played last night and they won the game because the guy went for it. Is he a great player? No. Is he a good guy? I don't know. He's better than Wiener Boy, who the Cleveland Browns traded for and then gave up on Baker. But it's just one of those things where it's a good example of a guy who is on his last legs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's doing all he can to try to do it. And he just got there 2 days earlier and he helped the team win because he just did everything he could and took the shot. And that's, as a fan, that's all you ask for. That's all you want to see as a team. My team to look like a bunch of guys who care, who want to take the shot, not who are afraid of screwing up. Mm. And unfortunately, we have too many guys who are afraid of screwing up and not enough guys who are willing to take the shot.
Including the quarterbacks most times, right? He doesn't want to take those chances, and that's been well documented. Hey, a guy that has shined, as we got a few minutes left. Sorry to get that other throw in. It just tied in, Will. I'm sorry, Evan. I know it was outside the 5 minutes. Rudy Ford. Okay, I just want to look at this because there were some interesting things, right? Rudy Ford was not, when you look at his career statistics, he was not a playmaking type guy, but again, not as many chances. Okay, if you look at his defensive snap percentages over the years, last time was the only one time he really got on the field much, which was with Jacksonville. He was on the field for 43% of their defensive snaps in four starts. Okay. So you wouldn't expect a lot of production from a guy that didn't get to see the field that often. He did have one interception last year in those four starts. But this season, the Packers only have 14 takeaways, 15 takeaways now, because they got three in the last game, right? Rudy Ford he's got two interceptions, and he's got a fumble, I believe a fumble recovery, and a fumble force fumble. So Rudy Ford, he's done all of that in only 297 snaps, 36% of the Green Bay Packers' defensive snaps, yet he has basically 30% of their turnovers caused by their defense. That's crazy.
That's because he's aggressive, man.
And let's just take a look in comparison at a guy who's very passive but has played a lot more, and that's Adrian Amos. I'm not even going to bring Darnell Savage in here because you know what he is. Yeah, he does Savage absolutely things. Nothing. But Adrian Amos, a guy who's well-respected, thought highly about.
But we had a better game against the Bears, by the way.
He has, but he still is not from a playmaking position where most of the times you're not specifically blocked or you have an opportunity to go make a play before a blocker would come to get you. Yeah. Okay. Adrian Amos has played 95% of the defensive snaps this season, 774 snaps. And in terms of game impact plays from those snaps, he has zero interceptions. He has no forced fumbles. He has one QB hurry and one sack.
Does he have any pass breakups? Is that on there?
No.
I don't know. There's the no. other... I just... It comes down to the same thing all season. This is just...
A total of two.
The Packers are playing the wrong guys. They've been playing the wrong guys all year. You know who the highest graded defensive player was in this game, according to PFF? Take a guess.
Who you got?
Who do you think it was? Who do you think the highest graded defensive player the Packers played against the Bears this week was? I'll give you a hint. He only played Rudy nine Ford? Plays in the game.
Oh, Devontae Wyatt?
Devontae Wyatt was the highest rated Packer what? Player with a 89 grade, according to PFF, this past
season. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Rasul Douglas was the third highest, and Keyshawn Nixon was the second highest. And it's about time that we, I mean, the guy was drafted the first round. Can we get him on the field? I don't care. Joe Barry, apparently Joe Barry last week said he needs to learn how to be a pro. If being a pro means you just play off and do nothing, that's not what we want to see. I want to see a guy who hustles, who can get off blocks, who has the agility to, you know, make a play when he gets blocked and then get off the block. That's what I want to see. They waited too long to replace Newman. They waited too long to replace Savage. Now they're waiting too long to replace Lowry and Kenny Clark and giving them more rest with a guy who's young. Good.
So maybe the passiveness comes from the coaching staff. They're not aggressive in making changes, and the players aren't aggressive on the field. We'll be back on the break. Tell you about the big stuff for next week where there's no game to talk about. Be back. Welcome back into Packer Outright Opinions, the Packer Outright Opinions show. My apologies to the radio listening audience for not having my stuff together here. And my brother, thank you once again. Again, it goes back to the beginning of the show. We're always held accountable for our mistakes. I made a mistake with the statistical breakdown and the information I was looking at. Bad information equals bad translation. And I'll also get you called out. Accountability. We have accountability on this show, unlike the Packers locker room. They have no accountability, but we have accountability here at Hafen Bros. Now, yeah. Ben.
What?
Do you know what's happening next week?
No.
Next Friday, do you realize? So the Packers have a bye, the latest bye I think you could have, right? They have this late bye, no game to talk about next week, no players to be excited about from the, you know, the previous game, although we were still excited about Christian Watson from the last game. Holy man, in the last month, the last six games, whatever, ever since he got back. Man, that kid's amazing. All right. But there's no game next week. So what do we normally do on Hafen Bros when we don't have a game to talk about?
We have the classic Hafen Brothers debate, which is always the greatest part of the whole season.
Yes, and it is confirmed that we have Raider Rick back to moderate the debate next week. So next week's radio program, Packer Outright Opinions, will be a debate. Brother versus brother, Evan keeping us on track, Raider Rick also keeping us on track, and we will also take live debate questions from people in the chat during that show. So if you come across, here's the caveat though. You have to make a question that Raider Rick believes is valuable enough or appropriate for the debate for him to read it. Because Raider Rick is a stand-up guy. He has much higher standards than Ben or I do, you know. So you got to make him good debate questions, appropriate, you know, appropriate for FCC, appropriate as well. And Raider Rick will put those questions to us. No prep time. We just have to go and make our arguments. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready right now. I'm not gonna prep for it. I just, what happens, I say it. Listen, that's one of the things you and I are very good at. Listen, I'm sorry. I don't usually toot my own horn. Oh wait, yeah, I do. I always do. But what I'm saying is this: you and I are incredibly good at coming up with crap off the top of our heads. And the only time we get flustered is like you did before, where you're trying to look at stats and come up with stuff at the top of your head at the same time. That was a bad choice. But if somebody asks us a question, we have an opinion. That's why the show is called Packers All Right Opinions, because we got an opinion and it'll come out. So get ready. It doesn't matter what the question is. We're definitely not going to study for it. That's for sure. We'll just, whatever question comes up, boom, we got the answer. Why? Because we know. Because we pay attention to the Packers and we've been doing it for years. And we know all the reasons. We were the guys in the preseason who said, Elton Jenkins is not a tackle, everybody. He's a left guard. Yet everybody, all the Packer fans are like, well, we're good. I mean, Elton Jenkins could play anywhere. He can play right tackle. We'll be good. We could be good. Even Goody. Even the general Packers. Oh, Elton Jenkins is our tackle. Wrong! There was two guys who said he's a left guard. One of them is over on the other side of the sound of this. That's Jace. And then me. We were like, no, please play him at guard. Please play him at guard. Not tackle. Please. We have Yash. And we drafted three guys. Hopefully one of them could come in and play a little bit. But do not put Royce Newman at guard again, please. Make it Jenkins and Runyon. And now guess what? Since they've done that, our offensive line is really good again. What a thought. What a thought. You play the guy who's a really good guard at guard. Genius. Not. I mean, it's simple stuff like that. But we'll just go up top of our head. We know what it is. You ask this question, we got the answers. We know stuff.
Jonathan says, I don't think you need me. Yes, we do. We need submissions. I'm just kidding. Raider Rick will probably read your question no matter what. He wants to throw some curveballs at us 100%. So he would take questions from anybody and he'll throw them in there. It'll be fun. We try to make fun. And we also try to make it, we try to have a winner declared, you know, like that's part of the deal with the debate. We got to have people talk about it. We got to have people declare a winner.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. But I fear for Rick, though, because he just got bakered last night.
Oh, that's right.
Poor and the other problem is, guess who we're playing next? Baker.
Oh, no.
We might get bakered. I hope not. But we'll never know. Because guess what? Baker's got nothing to lose anymore. He's going to play he's got nothing to lose. And we're going to play him next on Monday night. Not this Monday night, but the next Monday night after that. This is a long break. Ooh, it feels really long. I will say this. I'm excited to watch the Vikings versus the Lions. I think that's going to be a great game this weekend.
God, I hope the Lions can do it.
I hope the Lions win, too. But I think it's going to be a good game. That's a sneaky good game, and I'm excited, and I hope the Lions just smack the crap out of them. But David says it here. Christmas Day determines our year. Well, I think our year might be over. But no. David, if they could somehow pull out the victory against the Dolphins, that would be something.
If they go 9-8, they have a legitimate chance. Because I've laid this out to a bunch of people. The Giants are going to fall on their face. Giants are likely going to go down to 8-8-1. And the Seahawks could hit a skid. Their schedule's a little softer, but hey, they've been playing above expectations all season. And then the other wild one is Washington, right? And who knows? Taylor Heinicke.
The Lions too. The Lions are ahead of us.
But they get to play the Lions in the last game. Okay, so.
Yeah, but they got a game on us. Well, yeah, but still.
So then it would come down to some other tiebreakery stuff. But it could come down to the last game. The Packers could still be playing for a playoff spot the last week of the season if those other things fall together. And I'm saying there's certainly a chance that it could happen. I see the Giants falling down. We just need Washington or Seattle to also take a little bit of a nosedive here, and we got a chance.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath.
We got a chance.
Don't hold your breath.
All we want is a chance to win it. And I'm not saying we're going to do much in the playoffs, but if we could play the Vikings in the first round and make my dream come true and knock them out 2-7 right away, that'd be fun. Even if we got our butts kicked the next week, I'd be fine with that. Still a good season.
Well, I think there are three or at least two things they can do to change our, to actually do something in the playoffs. And that would be play Devontae Wyatt more and utilize Christian Watson as a monster. And maybe we'll have a chance.
Zero's here, and he says it. Packers Lions winner gets in the playoffs. Oh my goodness. Get ready for it, Packers fans. It could be good.
Zero Eagles, is crazy.
Eagles beat the Giants. These NFC East teams got to play the Eagles more, so they're going to get beat by the Eagles.
I know.
And then they got to play each other again. The Giants and Washington got to play each other again. So come on. Here we go. Maybe they'll tie again and really foul up the standings. Who knows? It could be fun.
Two ties would be stupid. Two ties equals a loss. So,
hey, I'm just saying hope is still alive for the Green Bay Packers. And they're definitely not losing this week. So celebrate, Packers, not losing. Yes. Ooh. Evan, you've been great. Thank you once again. Ben, I don't know. You were better than me, but we held it together for a show on a week was a long week. So
I just woke up and fell out of bed. So who knows what I was talking? I don't even know what I said half the time.
You fresh out of bed is better than me going on plenty of rest and being wide awake. All right, we'll catch you next week. Packer Art Opinions debate show next week. Woo-hoo-hoo.